Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more discussing important topics in higher education, like today, first-generation college students. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today on Baylor Connections is Dr. Mito Diaz-Espinoza. He's the program manager for the First in Line program at Baylor, which assists more than 2,400 first-generation college students who last year made up nearly 17% of the student body. Dr. Diaz-Espinoza, a Waco native who was the first in his family to earn a college degree, earned a history degree from Texas A&M, a master's in higher education and student affairs at Baylor, and a Ph.D. in higher ed administration from the University of Tennessee. He returned to Baylor in 2017 with the First in Line program, and he is with us today here on Baylor Connections. Mito, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you here on the program.
No problem, Derek. Thanks for having me.
You know, I've got to learn more about your work through Baylor Family News, the blog that we share with parents, and then there's a fantastic article on First in Line in the summer edition of Baylor Magazine that's been reaching homes in the last few weeks that really introduces you to some of the great students that you get to work with and gives a more in-depth picture of First in Line. And so that's something, if people enjoy this program, they might want to go ahead and read as well to learn more. But I'm excited to talk to you more today about this.
Thank you. I am too.
Well, you mentioned that you are the first in your family to attend and graduate college, which gives you a unique background to draw upon as you work with first-generation college students at Baylor. Let's go back a little bit to those days when you were wrapping up at University High School here in Waco, mm-hmm. and then heading on to college, those introductory moments. What were you feeling in those times? What were the range of emotions, the excitement, the nervousness, and how have those experiences shaped you to this day?
Yeah, you run through a kind of a gamut of different emotions. When I initially got my letter of acceptance, I was very excited, didn't know college was a possibility for me, didn't think that was something in my future. So when I actually got accepted, I was very excited, very encouraged and inspired. And then you start going through the process of receiving information for orientation and move-in and those types of things, and you start getting to understand this is a little more real, and you start thinking how serious this is going to be. And universities tend to do a really good job. A&M does a phenomenal job of highlighting its alumni and alumni network. So as you start thinking about that and seeing those stories, you walk onto campus, start thinking, wow, I've got some pretty big shoes to fill. And that's where those nerves kind of hit you, am I going to do okay here? Am I prepared for this? Am I ready academically? So start feeling a little nervous about that. Felt what's called imposter syndrome, a feeling of, do I belong here? Is this something I'm supposed to be doing? Am I ready for this? Am I going to be able to compete with these other individuals who seemingly were preparing for this their whole life because they had family before them who'd already been to college, or they were third-generation Aggies or whatever they were? So you start getting a little nervous, and excitement starts mixing in. You start realizing, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more work. It's not going to be all fun. So that kind of gives you a little bit of nervousness as you walk in on campus.
You know, college life has its own vernacular, its own lingo, syllabus, registrar, FAFSA. You know, for some people, their parents experience that, so they just kind of push them on down, you know, help them get on down the line. But what's it like learning that lingo, that culture around college when you are the first in your family to experience that?
So for me, it was a little bit of felt like everyone else already knew what they were talking about, and it kind of made me nervous to ask questions because I didn't want to feel like I didn't know something that everyone else knew. So you just kind of go along with it. You nod your head and you say, oh, yeah, 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 and you try to kind of fit in where you can and make assumptions about, well, maybe they're talking about this, maybe they're talking about that. You try to pick up those context clues on what everyone else is talking about. But it does make you nervous to ask questions because it feels like everyone else already knows the game and the rules, and you're still trying to learn as you go. And then you still have to compete academically. You still have to go to classes, write the papers, study for exams. But all the while, you're still trying to figure out what other people are talking about and what do they mean. I mean, I'm in higher education, and I talk to people all the time, and no one knows what a provost does, even the people that work here. So there's some level that every college student doesn't know everything. Mm-hmm. But for those who grew up in a family who went to the registrar's office before, who've received financial aid, who've gotten scholarships, who know the difference between grants and loans, those types of things are really background that first-generation college students like myself just didn't know, and we had to learn kind of as we were going. And sometimes that meant we missed opportunities to get in on things early, and we had to wait a year or a semester to kind of pick up on those things, to kind of set us back a little bit in terms of what other students already knew.
Talking to Dr. Amito Diaz-Espinoza from Baylor's First in Line program. Well, now you're the program manager for First in Line, serving first-generation college students and their families. What does that look like? Take us a little inside First in Line.
So First in Line is a big umbrella support program. We have a lot of different things that we do underneath that. There's a couple of different scholarship programs where we actually help financially with students who need some money. We also have a student organization, and they kind of help with a lot of the more social aspects. They do some meetings, but they also have, you know, Bible study, and they do study groups and game nights, just some of the social bringing together and building of community. And then we have a network of faculty and staff who either identified as first-generation college students themselves or who recognize our population needs some special attention and they want to help. So all those things are kind of folded under the First in Line umbrella. So we try to do as much as we can to educate students and their families on what going to college means. Those things I mentioned that you learn along the way, we want to teach students that very early and up front. We want to empower them to ask questions. We want to make sure that they know they belong here and they earn their way here and they are equal to every other student here. So to make sure they get the maximum value out of Baylor University. So we do a lot of teaching of what to ask, who to ask, when to ask, and to keep asking. If you ask somebody a question and that answer doesn't make a lot of sense, go ahead and ask the second question or the third question or ask someone else and keep asking questions until you fully understand. But we just try to empower students to kind of learn that they have to fight for themselves and they have to understand that they've got to make their way through this as any other process. But if they're not asking the questions, if they're not seeking out help, there's a lot of other students here that are getting that help and that attention. So sometimes they're going to get missed by not saying something. So it's their advantage to ask questions. So we try to do a lot of orienting, introduce them to individuals, talk to other students, hear other students' stories, hear our stories of how we made it through college. And that'll give them some inspiration and understanding of how to ask these questions and how to go through that. So a lot of my job is really meeting students, learning what they're interested in, what they want to do, so that I can connect them better, but then also just sharing stories and information as much as we can. But it's like everything else. We put the information out. Sometimes a student has to go through a difficult situation before they realize they want or need the help. And then they'll come to our office and ask questions or ask our students questions. So we do a lot of troubleshooting. Families are the same way. They'll call on campus. They're not sure who to talk to or who to talk with. And they'll end up calling me in my office and asking me, hey, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So often I'll supply them with language on ask the question, make sure you get this piece of the answer answered, and then ask them this follow-up if they tell you this or that. So I kind of arm them with some of the inside baseball, as you might call it, the questions that they might not know or they'll learn along later. So we just try to provide that information as a path and a blueprint for them to use as they're here.
You know, we'll spend most of our time here on Baylor Connections talking about your work with students, but families are a big part of what you do. How big is the role that families play in the work you do with students here on campus?
It's huge. So for us, we see families at orientation often, and we encourage families to come and be a part. And for a lot of them, families of continuing generation students, they ask different questions and they look for different things because of their experience. With our first generation families, they have no idea what to ask and they're kind of taking it all in. There's a common story in first generation literature of a family that was with their student during welcome week, and the family did not ever leave because they were never given explicit instructions on when it was time for them to leave. Mm-hmm. Other families know there's a drop-off point, you say goodbye to your students, and then they go off to welcome week and do those things. A first-gen family didn't know that, and they stuck through the entire program because no one ever told them it's okay to leave. So there's just little subtle things that families don't know and don't understand what to ask and when to ask. And oftentimes with teenagers, they just are so excited to be on campus. Mm-hmm. They try to tell their families less and less. They're like, yeah, mom, dad, I understand this, I know that. Oh, I'll tell you about that. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that. And we take the time to then take that extra step and explain those things to them that their students maybe not explaining, or say, hey, be on the lookout for this. Find another parent that you can talk with to ask questions of. There's rules and laws that prevent them from getting certain information unless they have forms signed, what's called the FERPA, the Family Education Rights and Protection Act. So when their students become adults, it changes from what they've known in high school and middle school. So they have to have forms signed to get their grades and get information, and families sometimes aren't aware of that. So we share all that information with them to try to get them to make sure because for our first gen students that are intimidated by staff or faculty, sometimes the only people they can ask questions of are their families. And when their families don't know the answer, they kind of go without that. So we want to empower the families to be able to ask those questions. And it's a big part of whether or not they feel connected and whether or not they belong here at Baylor.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting today with Dr. Mito Diaz-Espinosa, Program Manager for Baylor's First Inline Program. And, you know, every student, every group of students brings something special to campus, leaves a unique contribution on campus as they're here and when they're gone. What's the unique contribution that first-generation students make in the life of Baylor University?
There's several different things. So one of the things is asking those questions. We live in a world where oftentimes the answer to certain questions is, well, that's just the way we've always done it, and that's just the traditional way, and we follow the traditional way. When a first-generation student comes or their family comes and asks a question, sometimes they ask the question, why do we do that or why is that? And we haven't taken the time to step back and reassess those situations. So having that fresh perspective of an outside eye to ask a random question sometimes gives us an opportunity to say, well, maybe this isn't the best way to do this. We should reexamine that. So having that perspective gives us a little bit of understanding of, are we doing this the best way? And then the students themselves, they bring a lot of resiliency. So oftentimes first-generation college students have had to fill out the FAFSA paperwork on their own, research college on their own, look up scholarships, go through the application process. They've done all these things by themselves, so they're very self-sufficient. Many of the ones that come from low-income homes have often had to work while they're in school, take care of their younger brother and sister. Their parents might work a night shift or a blue-collar job, two jobs, something to make ends meet. So they've done a lot of things on their own. So they bring a lot of resiliency to the table when they're here. They know how to do things for themselves, and they really put in a lot of work and effort.
You know, how much is their strength in numbers for students? We mentioned 2,400 first-generation students at Baylor last year, nearly 17% of the student body. What do those numbers, how affirming are those numbers to students, first-generation students, when they come here and see others with similar experiences and backgrounds?
Most of the times when I share those numbers with anyone, there's usually a bit of surprise in their face. They don't realize how many first-generation college students are here at Baylor. So when our first-gen students hear that, they feel a sense of, okay, maybe I do belong. You know, if two or three people in my class are also first-generation college students, then I can ask these questions, and I'm sure somebody else in this room has those same questions. So they feel a sense of belonging. They feel a sense of, I am included in this conversation. This is part of the Baylor legacy and the Baylor story. If they didn't know that there was any other first-gen students here, or if they didn't see people like me who've been first-gen students who've are in staff and faculty roles, they might not think it's possible or that they deserve to be there. So hearing our stories and seeing that there's other people around gives them a little bit of an opportunity to relax and really focus on the other parts of Baylor. They're not having to figure it all out. They have a community of people that they can work with, that they can talk to, and then together they can figure those things out. But it allows them to focus more on finding research opportunities, internship opportunities, or putting more effort into their studies as opposed to trying to figure out the landscape of college. They've got some other people they can rely on. And once they build that community, they're really good at sharing information. It's really funny to see college students, for some reason, they don't respond to what we call adults. And a faculty member or a staff member can give them all the instructions in the world, and they'll just look at you with a blank stare. And then a student who's a year older than them will give them that exact same information, and all of a sudden they'll take that word as gospel and they'll run with it. So all that community and that sharing of information really gives them a bond and helps them understand, hey, you're living through this, I'm living through this, and they go through it together. So having that community is really, really opportunity for them. We try to put our logo on everything, so we share with our faculty and staff partners stickers and water bottles and coffee cups so that when students see that logo, they're affirmed and they feel empowered to say and speak up, hey, I'm first gen too, and I'm first in line. And that means that they have a connection to somebody. If nothing else is there, they can at least talk about their experience as a first gen student. And oftentimes that'll lead to some other connections. So it really does develop an opportunity for community on campus. And it really is, you can see a student kind of lighten up once they know that other people around them are also first gen students.
You know, I see that smile on your face as we talk, when you talked about students sharing information and helping each other out. What do you enjoy most personally about working with first-generation students here at Baylor?
One of the things that I get the biggest joy out of is hearing a student repeat advice that I've given them. I talk a lot. I share a lot. I answer a lot of questions, and I often give stories and information. And I'll hear other students share that information with other students. And that lets me know that something I've said or something I've given to them has made a difference. And it's imparted on them a piece of information that they want to share with others. They find it that valuable. So that brings a lot of joy to me because that means they're learning the system. They're understanding the landscape of higher education. And then also seeing them once they've turned the corner from, oh, do I belong here, to now I need to set my aims even higher. Now I'm going to go be a part of the McNair Scholars Program and think about a PhD or graduate school. Now I'm going to be the student body president. Our last three student body presidents here at Baylor were first-generation college students. So now they're starting to see, okay, I can figure this part out, and I've learned how to manage the day-to-day college life. Now I want to know what's the maximum I can get out of it. And they start doing everything. They want to be a part of the spirit squad. They want to see about walking onto one of the sports teams. They want to be a part of student foundation. They want to do all these things, start an organization. So they really take off after that initial kind of, hey, do I know where everything is? Do I know the lingo? After they get that part down, they start feeling empowered to then start doing more and more. And that's really a good place to see students take off and enjoy that leadership role and really make Baylor home and put something here that's going to last even after they graduate in the next 3, 4, 6 years, whatever that is.
You talk about the mission of Baylor being to build worldwide leaders. What role does – tell us a little bit about the First in Line Success Academy. What does that do, and what role does that play in the broader Baylor mission?
So the First in Line Success Academy is one of our scholarship programs. It's one of the things that the First in Line program kind of started with. It used to be the Summer Advantage program. We had students in a Summer Bridge type program. Now it's a pre-welcome week program and it extends throughout the year. We have different activities and workshops. Got about 70 students in the program who are scholarship recipients, so they do receive a scholarship from us. It's a small part of what we do, but it allows them to come together in a community before campus is open, before Welcome Week starts. They get to explore campus, meet some faculty and staff, meet some older students and existing students here, and allows them to really understand what it's going to be about when they come to college, study skills, time management skills, activities and things to be a part of. So we try to meet once a month in a big formal setting where we'll have presentations and speakers come in to talk about different things. But throughout the year, they're in a smaller group of about 12 students or less, and they have two peer leaders who are existing first-generation college students. Those peer leaders have one-on-one conversations with them. They meet with them. They talk with them about how they're doing, what's going on, and kind of give them advice and information of who to ask what to, and hey, I'll take you with me, we can meet this professor, I'll take you with me, we can go to this event. So it becomes a family for them here, and it is with other first gen students, so again, they feel comfortable, but it really sets a foundation for them as they go through all those things I talked about learning the lingo, learning the landscape. But when they go out into the world, a lot of these leadership techniques, time management techniques, communication skills that they've developed in, as a FILSA scholar, can then see them in their roles as a supervisor when they go to med school or law school or graduate school. It allows them to understand that they can take those same principles and carry with them some transferable skills that they learned through the FILSA program, and it really has tools for them to use throughout their life. But you see them kind of understand through this program that they're building for a long career in education, not just the summer or not just a quick bond. They're trying to build skills that are going to last even far beyond college.
Talking with Dr. Mito Diaz-Espinoza from Baylor's First in Line program, and we are winding down on the program here. So I want to ask you to kind of vision cast a little bit as we close this out. You know, you yourself, the first member of your family to attend and graduate from college, and you look at programs like First in Line. We're starting to see them grow a little bit, but still relatively new in this whole idea of really serving first-generation students. So I want you to kind of think on down the line a little bit. When you envision a world where generations of first-generation students don't slip through the cracks because they don't get questions answered, what do you envision when you see that, when you think 5, 10, 15 years down the line for the work you and colleagues at other schools are doing?
So long-term goals and long-term visions, we see it a lot with our families. So a lot of our students will come to orientation, especially our FILSA students when they come to move in. They bring with them younger brothers and sisters or nieces and nephews who are 5 and 6. And this is their first time on a college campus. And they get to see their older brother or uncle, aunt or older sister tell them, hey, this is where you're going to be. And it really embodies what the American dream is all about, leaving the next generation better off than what we found it. So a lot of our families and parents have made sacrifices. As I mentioned, they work blue-collar jobs. Some will work 80 hours a week. They'll work night shifts, day shifts. Some are recent immigrants to the country who came here escaping whatever they're escaping from their country. And they made a lot of sacrifices for their students to be here. They could have done a lot of different things, but they've invested in the education. Now their students are going to have a different world to explore. Their children are then going to know that college is possible, and they have different opportunities. Their network of connection of people that they've met here at Baylor and throughout their careers are going to be mentors and advisors for their young children or grandchildren. And it really changes what they're able to do and their opportunities. We see students who come in who did not know anything beyond Texas or beyond their home state, and now they're going on mission trips and study abroad and seeing the world and knowing that they can work around the world or there's an international opportunity for them. Their kids and their grandkids are never going to know those limits. Now they're going to know that the world is open to them because their grandparent or parent has said to them or their uncle has said to them, hey, all this is available to you through education and through opportunity that you can take. I took those steps. It was hard. It was scary when I did it, but I succeeded, and now you can succeed and do even more. So they want to put that baton in their hand to then do more. So we see more and more students coming in education, which leads to more and more people expanding their families, and the outreach of what the power of Baylor and Baylor's mission is will then extend beyond generations. And we have their brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews now wearing Baylor stuff and running around with stickers and getting excited and yelling Sic'em and all those things. And we just know that in 10 years, that student's probably going to be looking at Baylor. And then in 30 and 40 years, their children and grandchildren are going to be looking at Baylor. And there's higher education as an opportunity. So it becomes takes that restriction off of them. Now they know it's possible because we were able to get them in and through the First in Line program or other first-gen programs across the nation.
That's a fantastic vision. And Dr. Mito Diaz-Espinosa, I wish we had a little more time, but I think that's a great way to summarize what we've talked about here today. Thanks so much for your time and joining us. And where can people go online to learn more if they'd like to?
The easiest way to access us is www.baylor.edu/firstinline. And you can also find us on social media at BU First in Line. We'll host different information with programs and contact information. Feel free to call or reach out to our office in any way, and I'd be happy to help.
That sounds good. Baylor.edu/firstinline. Dr. Diaz-Espinosa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Derek.
Dr. Mito Diaz-Espinosa, Program Manager for Baylor's First in Line program, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.